Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
And bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Welcome to the Resettled Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. I'm your host, Galoxiola, and my colleague.
Hey, Agnesa.
Abanyor.
Abanyor, the ARCC General Manager, is in the studio with us today, and we will be talking a lot of the things, including the Christmas. And this is a Christmas. Come on, guys. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Claude.
Let's start with the Christmas. This is different Christmas in the way we celebrated back home. I can take on Enoch. You come from Ethiopia, where Christmas is celebrated in June or July, something like that.
Because January.
Ethiopia has a different calendar. They have 13 months in 1 year, and so now they fall back with 7 years. On the regular schedule. It's now 2010 in Ethiopia. They just celebrated their new year.
So which is mean it's not celebrating with us this
Christmas?
It's
not Christmas.
Are you not celebrating with us?
Yeah. I celebrate January 8th.
Yeah. So let's just start. How do we celebrate Christmas here, by the way? It's quiet. The first time I came here, it's so quiet. I went to the church. Church was not open on Sunday. And then I was asking, what is happening? Everybody went for Christmas. I say, no, we used to come to the church, and then everybody will go away.
No. I think was in a New Zealand context, when people celebrate Christmas, they start earlier. Might be they starting in the first day of November. And for us, where we come from, the Christmas, we always start the 20th and until 25th.
Mm.
But it wasn't in New Zealand, they start earlier. And you can feel the Christmas spirit earlier, and you can see it in public places, you can see it in a housing decoration, you can see it in the road. So it's really very different.
Yeah, very different, especially in South Sudan, where we come from. You know, they start on the 20th, and they come back on the 5th day of January. So it's like the whole time you have Christmas. It's a long holiday, and it's still you get your wages or your salaries. It's still good, you know.
I think it's a break where the families come together and really reflect on the past year, and also some of tradition is about united family together, because what we have in South Sudan, when some people are in a different part of Sudan in the Christmas, people all come together, and that what is really uniting people when we having a distance during the year. That's the way everyone come back to the foundation of the families. For example, if we live in the countryside, and the family, they know where the reunion will take place, and always it take place where there is a grandparents and all the relatives are together. That's where everyone come back to that route and to celebrate Christmas. Was really, really very good celebration. And
it's really very good. Enoch, where will you be on the Christmas Day?
You mean in New Zealand? Yeah, definitely I'm here, and I'll be here as well. But like, you know, for myself, you know, it's the second Christmas I'm going to celebrate in New Zealand, because I was here last year, and I'm comparing it, you know, how it's different from, you know, even last year. I'm trying to figure out, you know, some of those differences I observed from last year. This year, you know, I see, like, you know, all the roads are, like, becoming a festive kind of places, like, you know, you see everything in the outdoor and outside, in the streets, like, you know, people carry those Christmas trees and those Christmas decorations everywhere they go and they go out. And the place I work as a part-time as well, and I see a lot of Christmas decorations, Christmas materials displaying. So, yeah, for the first time, like, you know, from last year, I see a kind of big Christmas mood or festivity this year. So it's a bit different from last year.
I think this is, like Aban said, is a good opportunity for the families, you know, to celebrate the year and Christmas together and have some time with your family. And it's a family visit and, you know, traveling to see other family members and, you know, to have, you know, to get out of your comfort zone and see other experiences. It's like, you know, having fun time. I think that's what it's all about. I know even some families who are not Christians, but they do celebrate Christmas. So,
I think when you look in the context of New Zealand, I think it's not about religious and being Christianity celebrating Christmas. Mm. But that is reflect really the image of the nation as well. If you look at it, it's not about the Christianity, but about everyone who in the country is really is most welcome to celebrate Christmas in their own way and their own uniqueness of what their culture reflects to them. Because when I see publicly, it's not just about a Christian, but you can see everyone enjoying it because it's opportunity where the people come back from work and relax. And also, it's combined with the New Year, and that's what makes it a more unique.
More appealing.
Yes.
Well, we can go for a break, and we will come back, and then we will talk about the various ways of celebrating the Christmas, you know, where we come from, and especially in Ethiopia, where Christmas is already celebrated. Let's have a Christmas song, and then we will come back after the break. Welcome back to the Resurrect Radio. We have been talking about Christmas and what it means to have a Christmas, and is it for the Christians or anybody? So it's a sign of celebrating the life we have. It should not be only the Christian-like thing, but, you know, it's for everybody. I know in South Sudan, Aban, we used to make it different. If it is a Christmas, you have to buy certain clothes for the Christmas. You don't wear them until the 24th or on the 25th, the Christmas day. You see families go for shopping for Christmas clothes only. You don't wear them. Even if kids try to put them on, they would be told no until Christmas day. But when we come here, you know, things change. You don't have to have that particular shopping for that Christmas, but, you know, there are some shoppings, but it's not the way it was, you know.
Yeah, I think it might be is the same similarity, but the context, that is the only difference, because in New Zealand, you might find a gift is not just only the clothes. I think the environment we live in Southern Sudan, or in Sudan in general, I think is very different from here. When we talk about Christmas in South Sudan, we're talking about new clothes, new things, and also going to the new year was a new thing in mind. Some people want to change their life in a different way. This is how everyone hoping for the new year. But when in New Zealand here, you might get a gift from your friend, from relative, and different gift, which is something... it's unique. Also, if I need to reflect as well about the Christmas, and you know that we are celebrating 10 days Christmas, which is we rewarded by Auckland Airport. Give us a support to celebrate Christmas. And if you look in that context of our organization being multicultural organization, our celebrating on the Christmas is bringing all the ethnic diversity together and reflect on to what we have done during the year and celebrate together. Was happiness, was our children, was all different in the background. That is how the unique of the Christmas in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I really engage with that, because everyone is in there. It's not just specific people, but everyone is being included. So that is very important.
Yeah, I saw one Muslim girl, you know, wrapping a gift for her mom. And then when I asked her why you are giving her a Christmas gift and you guys are not from that side of the religion, she said positively, you know, the Christmas, we don't associate it with religion. We associate it with the happiness.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it should not be a one-side thing. So we celebrate it, not because of the religion side of it, but it's because of the happiness associated with it. And even our staff face, so last time he was telling us his kids buy Christmas tree and they're a Muslim family. So, you know, it has something to do with the happiness of and the joy that the family has, you know, sharing it. I think that's the basis for it. It's mostly about the gifts, you know. It's good to give and it's good to receive. And we, as AICC, we have already received our gift early. So Christmas came to us very early this year. We have the donation from Auckland Airport so that we can reach out to the community. And we did it in a very unique way, the way we reach out to the community, by training communities, giving them the knowledge they have never received before, not in the way that the Auckland Airport wanted us to, but they have agreed with the policies that we put forward, you know, the things that community needs, because they don't know what is in there in the community, but we live with the community, and so we know it better. And so...
I think to be honest with you, I think it's the first time for 11 years of AICC operate to celebrate kind of this gift, and it really mean a lot to us because it's the first time. And the way how we roll it out to the community members, for example, the workshop already has been conducted, and we have We have planned 5 different workshops with different topic in the area of education, environment, and health. Some of the participants, if you remember, on Monday last week, observing members of the community asking a question, which is you never been expecting to ask a question because they don't know.
Yeah.
And for them to say, oh, it's my first time to understand how this thing works in New Zealand, I think our responsibility as a human in terms of environment is too huge. And that as well, if we talk about the scale of our community, I think small things as what we receive from the training about the environment, how we protect our environment, starting from, for example, in your house, how you separate the recycling stuff between the recycling and rubbish. And when we talk about the plastic as well, if you hear in our news lately in New Zealand, and the plastic has become something that's really affecting our environment. So for those new arrival to the country, receiving the training on that day is really a big, big value to them, even ourselves. And before we have that training, even we don't know how to separate all those stuff. And also, in terms of disaster, if there is anything happened, we don't have the knowledge or awareness about it. So through that training, I think the many of the community members, they're having the opportunity to understand how to prepare themselves in terms of any disaster happen, for example, and also for them being aware how each every individual have what it takes to contribute to protect our environment. So that is kind of the thing that's really motivated me a lot.
Yeah. Given that, I think we got a lot of good opportunities from Auckland Airport this year. I think this is the first time to have that opportunity to be given to us as AICC. And we will talk a lot about those trainings and the workshops because we have covered 5 and a lot of questions have been raised and, you know, it's so good. But let's go to Mr. Henock. How come Ethiopia has got a different Christmas?
Well, as we discussed it before, like the Ethiopian culture, tradition, and history is well dominated by, highly dominated by the church, the Orthodox Church. And this church calendar traces back to the Julian one, not the Gregorian one. So the whole world, I would say, take on the Gregorian calendar, but when it comes to Ethiopian Orthodox Church, it goes to the Julian calendar. So according to that Julian calendar, Ethiopia counts those days according to, you know, the ancient, the Eastern Oriental kind of like churches, like, you know, who just counted on Julian calendar before. So that's why, you know, it's different, you know, the calendar is different from the rest of the world. So in every part of the world, I would say Christmas falls on the 25th of December, but unlike in part of the world, like in Ethiopia, it falls on the 8th of January. So it's a kind of like 10 days different or 9 days different from.
So when I was in a middle school, we used to be told, Ethiopia, when the world changed the calendar, Ethiopia didn't hear about it. So they like heard about it 8 years later. And that's why they are behind.
Yeah, I remember when we celebrated 2000 in Ethiopia, like the millennium in Ethiopia, and Black Eyed Peas, very non-American band, they came to celebrate the Ethiopian millennium in Addis, and then the lead singer was saying that, we celebrated 2008 in the world, but we're celebrating 2000 late in Ethiopia. So a kind of.
I remember when I enrolled in the uni in the States, and I think I told you I completed my high school in Ethiopia, and my high school certificate was written on Ethiopian calendar. And then when I took it to the Department of Education, they say, no, you cannot complete high school at the age of where you should be in middle school. It cannot work that way. So it took me a long time to explain to them.
So weird. Like, for example, we don't have a surname. You know that Ethiopians don't have a surname, for example. So wherever we go, like people ask, what's your surname? We don't have surname. Mm-hmm. We usually use our grandfather's name as surname.
No, when we talk about the surname, I think it's... I'm not sure 100%, but it's something associated with Western society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for our culture as well, in Mori here, if you want to introduce yourself, you might say your village and your mountain or your river, and that you will be identified and they can locate you easily and they will know you where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
But for us in South Sudan as well, we don't have surname, but what we have, we will be identified by our father name, our grandfather name, our ancestors. Because when you mention your names, like always when I introduce myself, when I say Abanior, I say, oh, that's it in New Zealand, But if I want to say my real name, it's like a song and some people make a joke and they laugh. Because when I say my name is Aban Kemia Jag Yoredorawe.
And then you play music after that.
You can play music. Yeah. Entirely up to you.
Yeah,
but that's the culture, because culture norms always have something associated with your identity. And for the surname, because we need to be in a position how we can balance and adjust. And the system is here, require me to have Abanior, and that's the child name. And some people, they might say, oh, we don't have a space in the form. And I said, okay, that's fine, but I can take the first letter of my name and then put it there.
Yeah, and in Sudan also, it makes it even worse, because the Sudan, you will go by four names. If you write three names, they will not like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then here, you don't have a space for four names. So it's some kind of
But I don't think, like as Mr. Van says, it doesn't only belong to Ethiopia, of course. You know, traditionally, all African societies, we could say, are not known by their surname. Of course, their personal name or first name is already known, or their tribal name even sometimes. But in our, in post-colonization, like after colonization, many of those African countries which been colonized by British and the France, they became like associated with
surname.
Like the way the Western societies use the name.
Yeah, let's have a break. Let's have a Christmas song again, and then we will come back to the Ethiopian Christmas again.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad,
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año. Felicidad.
Welcome back to the Rosario Radio. You are listening to Rosario Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. We have been talking about the Christmas, and we took it to the names and how things differ from one culture to another. And in South Sudan, I don't know, I think in the side of Maban, the surname is the name of the grandmother. You see how things
that's
differ.
So different, yeah.
Yeah, so different. The first name of your grandmom is your surname.
Wow.
So they don't want, to them, they don't want to lose the name of grandma there in the life. And so it will be carried on. You can take the first two names wherever you want, but grandmom name should be kept. See?
So different.
Yeah, different cultures, you know. And that's a flavor of the culture, mm-hmm. in a way. You get it from any side.
What about us is that it's important to maintain the family's names, parents. Their name would be named after all the children was in the family. So, for example, my son is my grandfather name. And the same things for me, it's because each name in our culture is have a meaning. You can't just name without any meaning.
Yeah, yeah,
but everything is have a meaning.
Has a meaning.
And for example, if Aban in my culture, they have a true meaning. And when I born, my grandmother passed away. So this is how it's related. And also another meaning of it is just my father apologizing to his in-law. He's supposed not to marry my mom because there is somewhere in grand there is a relationship. That's the kind of the things. After blessing, just they carry on over their relationship. So that is the meaning about it. But the family name always will be maintained for the cultural purpose.
And Aban said a very important thing, maybe, Enoch, for the us people like us, you know, along the Nile, who have one set of culture.
Yeah.
If you marry, you know, they have to track down the roots, and they have to make sure that side and this side, both sides, they have to count down maybe, I think, until 7 or 8. So yeah, if there's no relationship in there, so it's open, so they can marry. Mm-hmm. If there's a relationship in there, they are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the uniqueness of it. I think it's very common.
Yeah, I think the religion also is very influential when it comes to like African cultures, especially the east part of Africa. Like as you say, that like the people living alongside the bank of Nile rivers, we share common psychological changes as well, and religion also dominant there as well. So, yeah.
But within Africa, we might have three religions in Africa. We have African religion, we have Islam, and we have Christianity.
Judaism as well.
And
we have those who have none.
That's true. There's a lot of diversity. And when we talk about Africa, people related to New Zealand here, my experience is that Africa like one country. But when I come in contact with some people, I think many of you experience that we as African is a continent, not a country. We have 54 countries within Africa. And when some time people ask me, in Southern Sudan, how many tribes? In Southern Sudan, there's 64 tribes. And if you look at it, it's really very diverse. And that diversity, which is also been reflecting in New Zealand here, and that is the you can feel the flavor of togetherness and unity within in New Zealand. And why I'm saying that, because we're talking about a Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Christmas is about coming together, and for coming together with a different cultures, the people that should utilize diversity is about accepting the differences and also acknowledging the similarities. Mm. And for me, I think New Zealand has given me that opportunity to practice that and exercise it. And that's what the most important about being rich in diversity. So acknowledging the differences and acknowledging the similarities and making sure everyone have a space in term of celebration or a diversity, because diversity is a celebration for me.
Yeah. Okay. I think the diversity is what we enjoy the most, because this is the thing that has been denied to us where we come from.
Yeah.
I think this is part of the problem why we left our countries,
yeah,
because
exactly.
you don't associate with the people you like the way you want. They tell you the rules, they set the rules, and you will go according to the rules. Once you don't align with that, you become a problem. And so chances are that you might be eliminated, and that's why a lot of people flee the country. But once you come here, you know, it's like, hey, beautiful. Everybody's like, all the people are the same, you know. There's no superiority or inferiority thing, kind of thing that we already left there. Because even in South Sudan, you know, even in school, there's school for the rich people, you know, and everything is like categorized, you know. You don't have to be like, you know, if you go there, they will be like, where are you? And trying to trace down your family line, you know, based on the wealth and influence in the community, which is not right. But here, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Now, to your surprise, still in the 21st century, you see very homogeneous kind of societies in the world these days, like if you go to like some part of Europe, still they don't want to entertain that multicultural kind of setting. So just always want to pursue on that homogeneous kind of society. So in this case, if people come in to resettle in that context, you know, that setting, new environment, it doesn't feel good for those people, because there is no system or there is no mechanism in which, like, you know, people can reintegrate themselves, you know, having their diversity, having their background, like different backgrounds together, and put together. It's really different in New Zealand, like all kind of people, like, you know, from different backgrounds, from different setting, they can reintegrate it easily. You see that diversity here.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to Ethiopia again, Christmas Ethiopia. So what month exactly do they celebrate Christmas?
January the 8th.
January the 8th.
Yeah. Do we have any other countries in the world who celebrate Christmas differently, far from Ethiopia?
Of course.
Where?
Hopefully in Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe countries do that. For example, the Russian Orthodox is a bit similar with Ethiopian Orthodox. So they do Christmas around the same time in which the Ethiopian Orthodox Church does.
And also China has a Chinese year.
Yeah.
I might believe they have a different way of celebrating their Christmas too. You know,
these days, of course, Christianity is going deep into China right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They do Christmas. But before, like maybe 2 decades or 3 decades,
it might have been different.
It might have been different. Like, you know, the Chinese don't even know that Christmas, but they do have New Year like Ethiopia. Mm.
And what is that thing in Ethiopia where they burn green grass at night, you know, that Baal thing, you know, where they burn like a bonfire?
Oh, the bonfire.
Yeah,
it doesn't usually happen in Christmas time because Christmas is all about religion, like, you know, the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes place in churches. You know, the ceremony is more of religious as kind of ceremony. So people go to church and people do their rituals inside the church. And when they come back to home, like, they do different traditional things, like, you know, they bake their traditional a braid, and they brew that traditional local
I know the brown bread. How do you call it?
Defoe.
Yeah,
it's more of religious actually, but those things you said, like, you know, the bonfire or the torch,
all
these things happens in New Year, or like in having that finding of the true cross, like cross, mascal, we call it mascal.
Because Ethiopia has a lot of religious activities.
That bread only will be made in that day, or is available?
It's holiday bread.
Like, it's a holiday bread. It's only for holiday.
Just will be made just only for holiday.
For holidays, yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to bring another bread. It has to be that bread.
It's tasty.
If you don't make it, you better not have it.
You tell me when the holiday come, and I will remind you to do that.
Unfortunately,
if he knows how to do it.
Unfortunately,
no, we have Ethiopian here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Ethiopian community, they do that. But still, you can't find that taste, that particular taste.
Come on, man! Don't tell me you can't find that
taste.
But
the history of that bread, is it associated with Mary?
Mary, like the Mary, mother of Jesus Christ.
Mother of Jesus.
I don't really know about that. What I know is just this bread is a traditional
bread.
Which people bake.
So we can't find it in New Zealand here.
No, we can find it.
People are still, you know, I know that some families do
maybe
that.
Maybe the ingredients, but you cannot find it.
No, I went to Ethiopian occasion many times, and I've been given a bread, but I don't know what that bread is about.
It's just
eating. It's special bread.
Yeah, you're right. But for example, like, you know, the Ethiopian traditional food called the spongy kind of bread, injera, it's available everywhere. But that doesn't mean, like, that injera is particularly the injera we just do at home.
We know injera, man. Even many people in New Zealand know injera.
The ingredient is so different.
Yeah, but you talk about a special bread here. What occasions I can find out so that I can taste that bread if it's different from what I taste so far?
It should be holidays. Like, for example, now...
So we're going on holiday Christmas. Now. You're going to have it?
Yeah. Why don't?
Yeah, you invite me.
Yeah, sure. I don't have a family, you know that.
Oh man,
no
that
worries.
Should not be excuses.
I can manage it myself. No worries.
Oh God!
And also, when you eat that bread, I think there is a ceremony behind that. You don't just eat the bread. I think they bring green grass, and then put it on the floor. You don't sit on the chair. You sit on the floor.
Yeah.
There are some rules to go with that.
Mm-hmm. Protocol.
Protocol.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there will be coffee.
Yeah.
And then the guests will be served first, and then everyone else will follow.
Mm.
So, part of the religious kind of a thing.
I think that Godwork is you lived in Ethiopia for some time, so you know it well. So I don't have to explain it, you know everything.
I want to also say to some of the Ethiopian because
culture.
What is happening, this is how it works, and that is the practice day to day what I do at work. When we're having a Tube celebration, I will be Tubian on that day, so I will follow the custom and protocol. When it's a Pamis community's celebration, the same thing, I'm reaching to Bama. When it's a Sri Lankan, the same thing. So when it's any country, and that give me the opportunity to really to utilize how richness the diversity and just putting yourself in the shoes of those culture is really very amazing.
Yeah. And talking about the churches in Ethiopia, Ethiopia is a very old country.
You say very old, every country is old, man.
No,
in terms of history, of course.
We don't even know how old Ethiopia.
Why did you say it is old?
Yeah, that's why the age is unlimited. It's a very religious country.
And that is a product of that old history, actually. Like what we see today or what we talk about, like culture, tradition, it's just goes back to like not 1,000 years.
Because even you see it in the cities, people in the Aksum.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah. Even Christianity came to Ethiopia in 4 AD, like... You know, so this is very long time. Like, even you can't even imagine how long it's like. You know, so people.
When we say come to Ethiopia, where it come from?
From Egypt normally.
From Egypt.
You know that there is three major civilizations in the world in history, like the Mesopotamian, the Chinese civilization and the Egyptian civilization.
No, Ethiopia is linked with the Bible. Is it King Solomon?
But that is a kind of legend, actually. It's a kind of legend, and I can't comment on that. But the history
was that the Ethiopian girl had a child with King King Solomon. Yeah.
Well, we are going to the history now.
Yeah, yeah. King Solomon. And this is where the Christianity came from, actually, in some histories that I have learned.
Right. Yeah. But you can find any document on that, like, you know, or any study on that, like, you know, because it's a legend. Like,
yeah, but and that's why that's why we have Ethiopian Jews up to now. Mm. It's because of that history. You know, when Mengistu ran away.
Okay, where the Kush land? Because what I understand, according to the history, the Kush land is between Egypt, Sudan, and Ethiopia. So where the Kush land is?
So the Kush land, according to the history, the Kush was Ethiopia up to Egypt. So that area is Kush.
Yeah, very vast land, of course. It's not like the way we just perceive today. It's like, you know, it's not the geographical location.
But later they took out Egypt because they say the translation of the Kush mean black people. Mm. So they took out Egypt. So it was Ethiopia and Sudan.
Okay, now let us come back to New Zealand. What are you doing in the Christmas time, Galot?
Just have fun with kids, take them out, and then say hello to the neighbors and, you know, have meal with neighbors and family, visit family members, visit you.
How are you going to do that in New Zealand? Because some people are struggling to engage with the neighbors. How are you going to do that?
There was a time I came with the cookies when we just moved to the new area, and then I knocked the door of a neighbor and say, "Who are you?" I say, "I'm a new neighbor."
It's a good approach. Yeah, it's good. It's good. If you read them, I think that's the richness of making sure that you really you know your neighbors, because it's very important.
Yeah.
And this day, this is where we approach our neighbors. Even when I come here, I start approaching my neighbors to ensure that we all secure. Something happened to them, you are the first person who will know. And that is very important.
And talking about the neighbors, I think this is very important, because why we get the 12-day Christmas thing is because of the neighbors.
Yeah.
There was a story that I put out in the newspaper, and then my neighbor read it, and then she looked at the history. And then I was about only 1 minute walk from her house. Mm. And then she was like, "No, I have to find these people." Mm. And then she contacted the newspaper, and then the newspaper gave them my address, my contact. And then that's how we linked up. And through the conversation, when Aban came, it was just a coincidence. Aban came into my house, and the neighbor came there to visit us.
And she have a New Zealand cookies. It's for the Anzac Day.
Yeah, Anzac Day to come to give to the kids.
What the name of the cookies is really?
Kiwi.
It's a very nice, man.
Yeah,
very nice.
She did it. Yeah.
Just I went for visit. I think it's a Saturday, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, I went for visit, and then she told me, "Oh, I saw you somewhere." And I said, "Really?" And then the conversation went in, and we started knowing one another.
And then she started saying she works in the airport, and, you know, we give some money, a little money, to organization that's doing amazing job. And what is the name of the organization? ARCC. We are the ARCC. Then things started from there.
I think what is really important in our conversation is that if you are listening to Risotto Radio, I think it's important in this Christmas period to reach your neighbor if you don't know them before. This is the opportunity where we really to bring our relationship as neighbors and take care of one another. I think the Christmas is a good time for us to ensure that you know your neighbor. So that is just what I am trying to say to Galak, what you're going to be doing. And he went to answer my question directly, celebrating with the neighbors.
And what will you do during the Christmas day?
I think I'm going to do the same to you, man.
Because you guys got families, yeah. So it's going to be similar, yeah.
Yeah, but with the spirit as well, you can celebrate with your family. Give them a call and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when you talk about family, for us, family is about extended family, but we are here just ourselves.
Yeah.
And other New Zealanders, this is our family. That's where we relate ourselves all the time, you know.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with one gentleman in the train, a Kiwi, and he said, "Are you here with your family or you are by yourself?" I said, "Well, what do you mean family? Because I have a different definition of the family."
Very broad definition for family, yeah.
Do you mean family relatives or family?
Or nuclear family.
A nuclear family.
Yeah.
You say nuclear family and your relatives. Say, if I bring my relative here, it would be like the transferring the whole village to New Zealand. I think it's good to experience all of those. Let's go for a little break and then we'll come back.
Save me from tears.
Welcome back to the Resurrect Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. Your host, Galwachul, and my colleague,
Enoch Mesa.
And
Abanyo.
Abanyo, we have been talking about the Christmas, and then the culture came in, and then know your neighbor, because things will start from there. And we are going to the new year with new things, and one of the new things that will be happening, we have our office being renovated by Auckland Council. And I think we will not be working for 72 days.
That's in the office, but you will be working at home, man.
Yeah.
But for those who want to reach us, I think it's important to have our contact, and also make sure that we will put some of the contact on our website to reach us. And our office will be closed, and I think from the 15th of January until 30th of March.
Of March.
Oh, man.
It's a long time.
It's not a long time.
Age, man.
But
you know why I say that? Because we have a lot of, you know, families that come in every minute.
We will accommodate that. Some of us might be able to, you might reach Red Cross or ARMS, where we are our partners, or RES New Zealand, Asylum Seeker Trust. You might be able to reach us through those organizations, because we work in a collaboration with sector. We will be able to use those offices as well. So,
but we will be putting a sign on the door our contacts will be there in case if you are from the community and you need help, don't hesitate to call one of us with those numbers. All the staff numbers will be there on the door, and please call if you need any help.
And also mainstream services as well. They will be able to reach us through email and through phone call, and our mobile will be as well displayed in the building, and you can reach us there. Yeah.
And also, we have a new strategy. Next year, we will be coming to the communities, not the communities coming to us. So it's going to be a different way of doing things. So maybe by the time the office is being renovated, this will be the time where we will be trying to access the community. And so still, we will be getting in touch there too.
I think what is important is that for community leaders, almost 11 years, they've been trying to build their capacity and help the individual members of their community. Now what we're trying to do is that to reach the community member themselves through the community leaders, because what is important is that being a volunteer organization, always there is a lot of challenge. You jungling between your normal work and also supporting your community, how they can settle in New Zealand, and that's the challenge. So this time we are taking the opportunity as well to share the load with the community leaders to ensure that they community members reach to us directly, and also we give them information, and also we get the challenge and the thing they need help with in order for us to share it with the government and service providers. So we are moving to become effective within our community while we are building the community leaders' leadership and capacity buildings, also youth ambassadors and women network. All the work next year is going to be very different, but for the benefit of our community members, I'm sure.
Yep. See you and talk to you again next Saturday.
Just to remind our listeners, as you know, the resort communities across Auckland, they are isolated. Many of them are isolated. And we encourage you, New Zealand, to just reach to your neighbors and say hi and celebrate Christmas as you can. And wishing for the new year was positive minded.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas to you
Merry
all.
Christmas. Bye bye.
Story now proclaim Messiah's birth.
that was our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetteredradio.